Christianity, a crutch and irrelevant. Now we've seen from our reading that Jesus put three questions to people. Will you come and follow me? Who do the crowd say I am? Who do you say I am? Well, there are various opinions about Jesus, aren't there? But of course, the one that matters most is what we make of him. A decision about Jesus has to be made. Whatever you think of him, you can't remain neutral. And just as Jesus called people to follow him all those years ago, he calls people to follow him today. And many find excuses or reasons why they should either put off making the decision or to reject Christianity, refuse Jesus. And there are many myths and misconceptions about Christianity today. So what is the truth about Christianity? Well, some people would look at Rowan Atkinson's Mr. Bean and say that represents a typical Christian. Inadequate, emotionally and intellectually challenged. Okay, perhaps for a laugh, but just the sort of person who would need to use Christianity as a crutch. And of course, many people do hold the view that Christianity is a crutch. A crutch for weak people. And they would say that Christianity doesn't stand up to investigation. In other words, people who have a Christian faith are intellectually weak. Some people will say that faith needs no reason. You believe and that is it. Others follow logic. If something has no basis in logic, then it must be thrown out. But I think both these views are somewhat extreme. And as in most things, there needs to be a balance. Now, we all believe in things we can't see. We all have faith, if you like. We believe in team spirit, love, goodness. Apparently, a church once carried out a survey into belief and attitude to belief. And among the questions put to the people in the community, have you ever been in love? And apparently 98% of the people said that they had. But then how tangible is love? How can it be measured? In what sense is it logical? We believe in it. And of course it's true that there are times when we can't believe what we have seen. But it's just as true to say that we can't see everything that we believe. To have faith doesn't mean we are intellectually weak. The writer K.G. Chesterton said that when a person stops believing in God, he does not stop believing. In fact, he will believe anything. So Christians are not intellectually or emotionally weak or people who are unable to cope with the day-to-day living. And so it's far too simplistic to say that Christianity is a crutch for weak people. Because in the end, We all lean on something, don't we? Just take, for instance, friendship. When hard times come, we all value a friend. Someone who is dependable. Someone we can lean on. In good times, they're there to rejoice with us. In bad times, they stand alongside us and help us to keep going. Of course, friendships can be a crutch, but surely we would never dispense of it because it is a crutch. Now, we all require something to lean on. Friends, family, yes, alcohol, drugs. And we could look on all these as being a crutch. We all have something, someone to lean on. A crutch of sorts. And because we have a person or a thing we depend on, doesn't make it wrong or invalid. So when things are going well, it may be easy to dismiss the so-called crutch. But when things are not going so well, it isn't so easy to dismiss help, to dismiss that crutch. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And I suppose in that sense, Christianity could well be called a crutch. But not in the sense that to believe, you have to be intellectually or emotionally weak. So some people say Christianity is a crutch. Yet others dismiss Christianity, saying it's irrelevant. Perhaps they're pragmatic. And sadly, many people today don't see Christianity as being relevant to their lives. Don't see Christianity meeting their everyday requirements. You know, when will my pay last until the next one? How can I support my children, grandchildren, and or my elderly parents? Will I have a job or somewhere to live at the end of the month? Why can't I enjoy a better relationship with my spouse or children? How can I know what is right and what is wrong? So, is Christianity relevant? I think we can test that by perhaps looking at history. History tells us that Christianity has had a great impact on society. Our calendar is dated from the birth of its founder. And Christianity has been the subject of thousands of books, and it has shaped our laws. Christianity has also had an impact on our culture. Its huge cathedrals, its ornate architecture, great works of art, literature and music. And throughout the centuries, people have been inspired by Christianity. Many social reformers have cited as their main motive their Christian faith. People such as William Wilberforce, Martin Luther King Jr. And there have many over the years, over the centuries, who have followed Jesus Christ and have changed society for the better. Christianity has influenced world history to a considerable degree. But you know, not only history, because countless individuals would willingly say that Christianity has helped them in their lives. So I would say that Christianity passes the test of history. But then, what about the test of experience? Now, people like going out to the theatre, don't they? To sporting events, to the pub, to the bookmakers. But they don't like going to church. And why? Because they find it a drag. It's uninteresting. And that's so often the image, isn't it, that the church has. And yet, having said that, thousands are joining the church every day, worldwide. And yes, recent figures indicate that the number attending church in London is growing. You know, for over 2,000 years, millions of people have attended church. Now, whilst the church may have its faults, normal people would willingly say that Christianity plays a vital and relevant part in their lives. Dustmen and doctors, young and old, black and white, intellectual and uneducated, straight and gay, all have found Christianity to pass the test of experience and to do so into a down-to-earth, life-affirming, practical ways. People from many backgrounds, cultural and social, have found and continue to find Christianity so relevant. And so this fact can't be easily ignored. You know, for countless millions of people, Christianity passes with flying colours the test of experience. But then in the end, at the heart of the Christian faith is Jesus. Jesus is the centre. Jesus stands above history. You can't ignore him. You must make something of him. Christianity is about Jesus, not about abstract ideas. It's about who he is, what he did, what he said. The historian Arnold J. Toynbee surveyed history and looked at the various messiahs and so-called saviours that have come along. And they had various views on the salvation of the world. Some declared that it lay in restoring former glories. Others that it would come by looking ahead to the future, to a new world order. Some believed that military might would bring salvation, and yet others have been saviours of the mind, seeking to save humanity by their ideas. I suppose we would call them philosophers. And Toynbee's assessment, all these saviours failed. None except Jesus, the true and only saviour of the world. Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world, crucified for us, raised from the dead for us. Gandhi, the man who led the people of India to independence from Britain, thought Jesus to be a good man and nothing more. And in a letter to the evangelist L. Stanley Jones, he mentioned how much he admired the moral teaching of Jesus. And the evangelist wrote back, said, "You found the principle, yet missed the person." You know, we cannot easily dismiss Jesus. We must take what he said and did seriously. And most importantly, we must meet the Jesus we see on the cross, because the cross demonstrates the love of God. Valentine's Day will soon be here, and it's a day that people show their love by sending cards and presents. And very often the cards end with a cross, which symbolizes love. The cross on which Jesus died is a sign of God's love. You remember those words from John 3:16, For God loved the world so much that he gave it his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. Through Christ's death on the cross, God is able to offer forgiveness. A new relationship is now possible for all who respond to the good news that their sins can be forgiven. Our lives can be turned round, be transformed. And through Christ's death on the cross, we are guaranteed eternal life. Death is an enemy that has been defeated because of the death and the resurrection of Christ. And the cross assures Christians of a promised inheritance in God's eternal kingdom. Remember the story that Jesus told about two sons. One asked his father for his inheritance. He wanted to explore the world, wanted to do his own thing. And he left home, and for a while he enjoyed life. But things soon took a downward step, and he ended up looking after the pigs and eating their food. And having reached this low point, he began to understand who his father was. And when he reached that low point, he returned to his father. But you know, we don't have to wait till we get to that low point before we come to our senses. God loves us as we are. We are accepted with all our faults. And Jesus told that story about the two sons to demonstrate the love that God has for us. And that, after all, is the truth about Christianity. God loves us and demonstrated that love by sending his Son Jesus to die for us so that we might be forgiven and our lives transformed. Amen.